bless you.
Thank you, brother. I want to thank Victory Church for this opportunity that you've given me to be here. I'm humbled by your invitation, and I pray that the miles that we have driven are not in vain for you. I know for myself they've not been. The first opportunity I've had to be here behind the pulpit, I've been here a number of times, dating all the way back to when Brother Cofer was with us here. And I respect and love your pastor. I remember that week very well that we spent together, and I have seen him without his coffee in the morning. He's a different man, but I love him even when he rolls out of the rack and doesn't want to talk. He's been an inspiration to me for many years, and I appreciate him as well. I wanted you to pray with me really quickly, or pray for a request that I have before I begin to speak tonight for just a few moments. I have a friend here this evening that I'm worried about. Last weekend, we had our youth weekend in Indianapolis, and we had the privilege of having Brother Don Curtis preach the Sunday morning service, and he was a good ways in to his message, and I looked back from the front row, and I caught my friend copping Z's. And I thought, if you can sleep on Don Curtis, you must not be saved. So he knows who he is. I'm not going to name him. He's very much saved, and he's a good kid. But I've been hassling him ever since, and I told him that I'm watching him to make sure he doesn't try that on me. I asked for 15 minutes, Adam. That's all I need. I want to talk to you for just a few moments tonight about losing weight. And you're probably thinking, great, we're going to hear about losing weight from a fat guy. I actually, and this will make you laugh, I'm a physical therapist by trade. That's kind of like having a nurse that smokes or a doctor that does drugs. A fat physical therapist is not something that really is appealing, but not natural weight is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about something that we find in the book of Hebrews. We're going to read one verse for our beginning place, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1. The writer of Hebrews says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." It says there in that verse of Scripture a couple of different things that we want to hit upon. One of those is that we need to, as we already have heard today, abstain from sin, that it be something that we abhor, and also that we lay aside every weight. So I want to suggest to us in the beginning that there must be a difference, a delineation that needs to be made between sin and weight. There are things I believe that we carry, and young people, this is geared towards you. There are things that are available that you may have access to that you may desire to have that are not beneficial to your walk with Jesus. The writer of this book refers, I believe, to the Olympic Games and how in those days runners would strip themselves of nearly every garment of clothing as to gain an edge so that they weren't weighted down. And so his picture here was that if you're going to run the race of a Christian life, if you're going to strive to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and be successful in the strivings and the effort that you pour forth for the Lord, you need to make sure that you are as effective as possible. Have you ever seen a sprinter in the Olympic Games that looks like a couch potato? Have you ever seen a world champion marathoner that carries a spare tire around his middle? Of course you don't. Their object, their goal in life is to win that race, to be an effective runner. Your goal in life, young people, whether you realize it yet or not, is to serve the Lord. He created Adam in the garden. His purpose was to please God by being obedient. That's still our assignment. And Solomon was a very wise man. He had wisdom from God. And he said at the end of his musings in the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, the all of it. Let's roll all of this that I've said and all the vanities that I've discussed, and let's just hone it down into one statement." What did he say? "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Amen. You'll have a job, you'll have a spouse, you may have kids, you may have a bass boat and a lake house. I don't care about those things. Your job in life, if you've been saved, is to serve the Lord. Amen. To walk in the footpaths of Jesus and to lift his name up to be a light reflector of that true and perfect light which is above. You can't do that as effectively if you're carrying a bunch of weight. I remember a day when I was about 16 years of age and I said at the living room, at the dining room table of my parents' house. It was the summertime, and I'd been running, and I'd been riding a bike, and I thought I was a pretty good athlete back in the day. And I remember making a statement. And I remember the statement because of the reaction that I got. We were sitting there, I had my shirt off, had some running shorts on. I was all that in a bag of chips, I suppose. And I said, "I'm never going to be fat." And my dad looked at me and kept eating. And I thought, "I'm going to show you, old man. I'm going to be six-packed my whole life. I'm not going to take off my shirt, but you can take my word for it. I'm fat. In my eyes, I'm fat. I got about 20, 25 pounds I'd really like to get rid of and could if I wasn't so lazy. But my plans are different. I can't do the things that I used to do. I can't go run for pleasure as I used to. I can't get on my bike and ride for ways and not get tired because I have extra weight. It's like I was back 16, except I'm carrying 25 pounds worth of weight in my hands as I do it. Would you rather run up a flight of stairs as you are, or would you rather give me a big iron weight from the gym and have you run up the stairs? Well, that's the same thing as carrying weight around your middle. Spiritually speaking, there are things in this world that Satan would like to put in front of us that we sometimes go and window shop from time to time and eventually get our hands upon, and it's nothing more than a dead weight upon us in our walk with Christ. Amen. The distinction between sin and weight is that sin is something that is contrary to the law of God. God doesn't like it. It is offensive to Him. It's damaging to us. It breaks the fellowship that we have with Him, and we know it's wrong. A weight does not necessarily have to be sinful. It just has to be a hindrance. Sometimes Satan tells us, as he did Eve, a little half-truth, which is a whole lie. He says, "You can do that because it's not wrong." Just because it's not wrong doesn't mean it's beneficial. And when you're saved, young people, it's not a matter of just right and wrong, but is it beneficial to the Lord? I've seen some kids with, "What would Jesus do?" That's exactly what that question points you toward. What would Jesus do? Did Jesus do anything frivolous? Did he waste time? Did he play Sudoku? Did he take a week's vacation in the Sea of Galilee and just hang out on the beach? He did not. He said his meat was to do the will of the Father who sent him. Amen. His desire was to please his Father. His desire was to deliver us and redeem us back to the fellowship that he once had with he and his Father. His life was purposeful. His walk was quick. His gait spiritually was swift and perfect. And his steps were guided by his Father, as ours should be. When you get saved, the Bible tells us we're just babes in Christ. You got a babe, and you know at first they can't even roll over. Got to roll them over. Then they're creeping, and they're crawling, and then they're walking, and then they're running. But they don't do that all the first year. We're the same way in our walk with the Lord. Some of you are crawling, just been saved, just starting to learn and to walk with the Lord. Some of you have been walking for a while. Some of you are beginning to gain a little speed and run. All of us are called to be runners with the Lord. Are you tired? I meant to ask you that in the very beginning. Are you tired? I get tired, excuse the pun, of looking out upon God's people when I preach and see them yawn and shift their weight and bat their eyes. And what are you doing? What are you so tired from? I know we're not wearing the Lord out. The Spirit's not upon us in such a great way that we can't keep up with His leadership. Why are we tired? Because we're running with weights. Amen. We're running with things that God does not intend for us to carry. This life is difficult enough without carrying a bunch of junk. Amen. Young people, you're learning pretty clean right now, aren't you? You're like a brand new car. It doesn't have anything wrong with you. You've just been saved and you're young. Your body's as strong as it's ever going to be. Your mind's as sharp as it may ever be. You aren't encumbered with a spouse. You aren't I love you, honey. You're not encumbered with children. You're not encumbered with a job. You're not encumbered with a house payment. You're not encumbered with any of those things. You got it easy. What I'm trying to tell you in my positive way is that it's only going to get harder. So if it's going to get harder just living life normally, why pick up a bunch of junk that God doesn't intend you to carry? He knows how many days that you've been allotted in this life. He knows His will for all those things that I mentioned, what He wants to give you. All He wants you to do is trust Him to load your pack. Amen. One of my favorite movies, there's a platoon of army soldiers going out on a night patrol, and the sergeant's coming down the line. He's got a bunch of newbies. They're green. They've never been out before, and they got everything packed on them. And he comes by, and he takes out an entrenching tool, and he says, "You don't need that." Takes out a flashlight, and he throws it, and says, "You don't need that." Takes out a pup tent, and "You don't need that." He's trying to show them, why carry all this gear that you're not going to use tonight? Do you know what you're going to need to use tomorrow? Do you know what you're going to need next year? Do you know what you're going to need in 10 years if you live that long? No, you don't. I don't either. But let us be secure in the fact that the grace of God is sufficient.
Amen.
And that day just the same.
Amen.
We spend too much time packing our own packs. Things that we think would be good for us. Things that we would like to do. Let me tell you something you probably already heard from your parents, and it's right. Do you know God cares who you marry?
Amen.
God will choose your spouse. I can tell you a story if we had time. I don't have time, but I could tell you a really neat spiritual story about how I found a wife. God knows if you want to have children. God knows if you can have children, if he blesses you with such. He knows what type of work that you'll be good at. He knows what college that he would like for you to attend. He knows all of those things, but we don't give God credit for being interested in the intricate details of our life. We want to consult him with the big things, and we want to go to him and we get in trouble. You ever go to God and pray when things are going good, and you just want to know how you're standing with him? Yeah, me either. Not very much. God's not a psychiatrist. We don't go to him when we think we're crazy. God's not a doctor. We don't just go to him when we feel sick.
Amen.
You don't have to need something, although we always need something, to go to the Lord. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You've got a job. It's to please the Lord. You are the soldier, as you already have heard today, in the Lord's army. To be a good soldier, you have to be a soldier. You're not a soldier and a baker, a soldier and a cobbler, a soldier and something else. You're a soldier. You go and you live with other soldiers, and you train with other soldiers, and you fight with other soldiers, and nothing else in life matters because you're paid to be a soldier.
Yeah,
Jesus has paid an awesome price and called you, drafted you into his army. When he saved your soul, he gave you the privilege of serving in that army and expects you to soldier, not just be a National Reservist. Now, I probably offended someone right there, but you know the guys that they go every other weekend and 2 weeks in the summer, and they call them weekend warriors. I'm not dissing that. That's a necessary branch of our military. But most of us like to serve the Lord on weekends and 2 weeks of revival in the summer. The Lord's got plenty of National Guardsmen. He needs some active duty soldiers.
Amen.
So I want to discuss very, very quickly about weight. What are you carrying? Only the Lord can tell you what you're carrying, because some things are evident. They're visible. We can see them. Some things are not so easily seen. The distinction between God and ourselves is that I can look at you and tell a little bit about you by your appearance. God can look down to the very depths of your soul and tell you exactly who you are.
Amen.
You can fool me. I can fool you. Neither of us fool God.
Amen.
There's something that I call acquired weight. Things that we pick up voluntarily. And again, weight is not necessarily sin. It's just things that are unnecessary. There's a boy that we heard mentioned today by the name of David, ready to go out and fight the giant Goliath, ready to run down that hillside into that valley to slay that man that was defying God's army. And Saul, in his good attentions, put his armor upon him. And you remember what David said? "I can't wear this. I've not proven it. But I tell you what I have proven. I've proven God that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. And that same God that I have proven in the past will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine."
Amen.
That armor was good. It was strong. It was the best probably that could be made. It was the king's armor. But it did David no good. It didn't serve his purpose. It just was weight. Just because someone else has something doesn't mean it's good for you. Just because you can afford a brand new something or other doesn't mean you need it.
Amen.
May not be a weight to your brother, may be a weight to you. Ask the Lord,
amen,
is this a weight or is this a blessing? Nehemiah had an experience of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and his own brethren became a weight to him, discouraging him and trying to undermine the work that he had done, and yet he stayed true to the call that God had put upon him and succeeded even with that weight, which was not his fault. Do any of you young people plan to get divorced? That's good. Any of you young people plan to lose a spouse to death or lose a child? Any of you young people plan to become addicted to alcohol or have sex before you're married? Anybody plan those things? Good. You know, some of you are going to partake in some of those, if not all of them. We're just people. We're just sinners. We are tempted and we sin. All of us. I do. I'm tempted by things just as you are. If you partake of those things, don't let Satan fool you that you'll not be scarred. You may have a weight placed upon you that you cannot remove. I have friends that love the Lord, serve the Lord. They have more than one spouse living. They have children with people with whom they are not married, and they love those children, and they love the Lord, but that weight is always there. They're encumbered. They're not damaged, I don't want to say that, but they are not what they could have been to the Lord because they have been foolish in some of the decisions that they have made. They have weights. David had a weight. Wasn't where he was supposed to be. Kings were supposed to be out in the war. In the springtime, he saw a woman bathing on the bath on the top of her house, and he lusted after her. You know the story. The child died. Yeah, he got the woman. He killed her husband, and she came and was his wife. But did you know, if you read on in that story, you're going to find that not only did David lose the child, but he eventually also lost four of his sons. Amen. And the Lord said, because that you have done so, the sword of the Lord will not depart from thy house, even unto the fourth and the fifth generations. His house was destroyed. Amen. His family was laid in ruin because of his sin. Amen. And the rest of his life, he carried a horrible weight that he wasn't meant to carry. His son learned that same lesson. He had wisdom beyond measure. God gave him a wisdom that was uncommon to man. And yet we find him having 300 wives and 700 concubines who eventually turned his mind to idols. And his life ended up in large part in discouragement and a weight. There's a wife joke there that I'm going to forego for my own safety. Those are some acquired weights. They also have some personal weights. I call them personal weights. Weights that we can't see. You have scars sometimes of your sin. I have a very good friend that has tattoos. Wonderful Christian man. He's there every time the doors are open. He's got remnants of his armed duty in the Navy all up and down his arms, and not pretty things. And they're a great embarrassment to him. So much he can't really have them removed if he wants to have any skin left. I bet he wishes he didn't have those now. See, he got those when he was young. He got them before he was saved. What have you are in danger of obtaining, of gaining, of having placed in your pack, so to speak, before you really get started in life? The stage you're at right now, young people, is when you're packing your pack. And much of what you pack, you'll carry for the rest of your days. Amen. It behooves us to pack wisely. It behooves you to listen to those that have packed their packs already. It behooves you to listen to those that would like to help you pack your pack wisely. Personal weights. Samson had some personal weight. He had a weakness for the woman named Delilah. And I won't recount that story for time's sake, but we know how that he was a powerful, wonderful worker for God. Slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. How miraculous is that? And yet we find him at the end of his life, blind and bald, pushing at a meal where an animal should have been. Yes, he ended his life in glory, but are you willing to sacrifice your power with God just to go out in a blaze of glory? What could Samson have done if he'd minded the vow that he'd taken to the Lord? Lot's wife had some personal baggage. She loved the world. Lot was evil for taking her there, but God removed them from that, delivered them, gave them a way out, and she looked back. For whatever reason, I speculate, because she was yearning for what she left behind. Sometimes I see God's people serving the Lord in physical body, but their hearts are yearning to look back to what once was or what could be. You heard this morning from Brother Jeremy, perfectly spoken. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy you and satiate the appetite spiritually that you have like Jesus. Amen. Find a man by the name of Saul. Anointed king of God's people. Through the course of his disobedience, flaws that he had as a man, we find him dying, possibly by his own sword, on Mount Gilboa with his sons, including Jonathan. A horrible end. We find him later, they took his body and they cut it in quarters and they nailed it on the walls of Beth Shean. David and his men went and stole it back. There's a wonderful allegorical story, a picture for us to study right there. But what a shame for the king that God had anointed to end up cut in quarters and nailed upon the wall of a city that belonged to the enemy. Satan's got a lot of God's people nailed to walls. They're dead. You just don't know it. Dead in your trespasses and sin. Yes, you've been saved, but your life has been lost. Lots of God's people, I'm afraid, have got saved souls, and yet their lives have been lost in usefulness to the Lord. Why? While they may still be walking in the way, they are so weighted down. that can't walk well enough to keep up. I'm probably out of time, so I'm going to skip the last half and just go right to the ender. You like that part, right? So what is necessary? If you're not to keep weight, if you're not to pack the trash that weighs us down and makes life heavier and harder than it should be, what is it that we ought to pack? This is what Jesus said, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that are all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I've heard that preached a lot in revivals about coming unto Jesus and finding salvation. And certainly there is rest for our souls in Jesus. I believe this is referring to laborers, workers, soldiers. We ought to fight wisely, not as one Paul said, as one that beateth the air, but wisely according to purpose and training that God would give us. What he wants us to do is to let go of the yoke of this world, to not serve two masters, to not try to serve God and mammon, to not be a double-minded man and unstable in all of our ways, to not do all those things that he warns us about over and over and over again, but rather to submit ourselves to the Lord after that we resist the devil and love him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. Because what he wants to do is take off that pack of weight and trash that we've tried to pack ourselves. Take it off. Even after that we've been saved, take it off. And to replace it with the yoke of Jesus Christ. You know what a yoke is? I live in the city, but I grew up in the country. A yoke is a piece of wood, two pieces of wood, actually, that look cumbersome, but they're made to put two strong beasts together so that they can work together and do more work than they could do apart, the two of them. Jesus wants you to be yoked together with him. He'll save you. He'll deliver you from the mire. He'll deliver you from the pit, as David described. He'll do all those things. But what he really wants you to do, young people, after you get saved, is to lay down your pack and your trash and your weight and your plans and your hopes and your dreams and let Jesus put his yoke on you. You know what the great thing about being yoked to Jesus is? I can't pull with Jesus. I'm not strong enough to walk beside Jesus. You know what he wants me to do? Yoke myself to him and allow my weakness to show the power and the glory of his strength. Amen. Jesus wants me to yoke and just say, just walk. Let me pull. Let me do the work. Let me pull the plow. Just get in this yoke with me and walk. If Jesus came to you or someone came to you naturally and said, you can either walk with just clothes on your back from here to the end of this road, or you can take these dumbbells and I can put this big pack and I want you to carry a big rock and walk to the same end. Which would you choose? An easy walk or a heavy walk? An easy walk. Jesus offers those of us that have been saved not an easy walk. It's not a bed of roses, so to speak, but it's a walk easy to compare to the way that the world walks. Have you seen how people struggle out there? All the people foreclosing on their houses, all the people getting divorced, all the people having their homes broken up, all sorts of trouble and trials that people struggle with every day outside of Jesus. It is sinful for us as God's people to struggle with them. How will they know that there's different and there's better if we live our life like them and struggle with the things that they struggle with? We need to be different. Our marriages need to be different. Our children need to be different. Our personal lives need to be different. Our language needs to be different. Our affections need to be different. Everything about us should be sanctified and consecrated to the Lord. If you're yoked to the Lord, you ain't getting away to do something else. That's the purpose of a yoke, to keep you put together. I pray, and I know I went over my time, forgive me, that all of us will consider losing weight. And remember, this preacher told you in the beginning he had no intentions of ever being fat. Here I am. You don't have any intentions of getting your life all clobbered up and weighted down. But it happens. God bless you. I pray God's richest blessings on each of you young people. You're not the church of tomorrow. You're the church of right now. If you've been saved, you've got a place and a spot, and we value every single one of you. God bless you.